If you're in our text for today, Titus chapter 2, let me just say that each year for many years now, the Lord has impressed on my heart to choose a theme for the year for us as a church. This year, our theme forms the title of this message: Are You Living in the Light of His Soon Return? Are you living in the light of His soon return? As the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ approaches, Satan, knowing his time is short, is working hard to deceive the world and confuse believers. Beginning even during the time of the apostles' ministry, Satan's deception had already intruded into the realm of Bible prophecy. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote several epistles to correct a number of wrong teachings, including the teaching that Christ's second coming had already come and gone. In fact, the wonderful passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that describes the rapture was written to combat that false teaching. So let's read two passages of scripture that form our text this morning. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, first of all, and then we'll go back to 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. And then if you turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, but don't forget your place in Titus. We'll be back to that in a little bit. First John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. I hope you noticed Titus chapter 2, verse 13, that we just read a moment ago. Let me read it again. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. We're going to be concentrating our focus in this message specifically on the first part of that verse, the blessed hope. So with that in mind, what exactly is the blessed hope? Remember that the word hope, as it is used in Scripture, does not mean wishful or positive thinking. It means a confident expectation. It's an expectation because, number one, it is something in the future. It has not happened yet. It is a confident expectation, number two, because God promised it. And since he cannot lie, he will bring it to pass. We can expect it to happen. It is a confident expectation. So in the context of both passages we just read a couple minutes ago, this particular confident expectation is about what God promised concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically the first part of his second coming. Titus 2:13 actually mentions both the first stage of his second coming, the blessed hope, and the second stage of his second coming, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Today, we're concentrating on the first stage of his second coming, the blessed hope. In a nutshell, the blessed hope, or as 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 puts it, this hope fixed on him, refers to the rapture, in other words, literally the catching up of the church of all born-again Christians as it is described for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. So I'm going to give you just a minute to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if you want, you can also kind of put a little marker there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you'd like to follow along in your Bible as I read it aloud for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that is, who have died in Christ, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. That word caught up, those two words caught up, translate one Greek word, rapturo, meaning to be snatched up or caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 and beginning in verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, that is, die, but we will all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. For the sake of those of you who may be listening to this on our website for the first time, or you've not been attending our Sunday school hour every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for the last several Sundays, let me pause for a moment to invite you to study this further in lesson number 12 of the Growing in Christ Bible Study booklets, where you can view a color diagram of the events that will take place in the future, beginning with the rapture. These booklets are free and available on the table at the back of the auditorium in the church if you're here, or if you're on Zoom or listening on our website, I can send you a PDF copy of this lesson if you send me your email address. Now, did you notice in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, that we are exhorted to look for the blessed hope? What does looking for or looking forward to the blessed hope do for us? What is it supposed to do for us? The most important result from looking forward to the blessed hope is it motivates us to holy living. Notice with me again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So let's see how this works. The key is the imminency factor. Imminency means the rapture could happen at any moment without warning. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment and find you doing what? Will you be ashamed at his coming? For instance, will he find you viewing something unclean on the internet or on your TV? Will he find you cheating on your test in school, or if you're grown up, cheating on your tax return? Will he find you being unkind or selfish toward your sibling or schoolmate or your coworker or your spouse? Or will you rejoice at his coming because he will have found you reading his word, or attending church, or giving a gospel tract to an unsaved person, or even better, giving a verbal witness to that person and being kind and selfless toward others? Will you rejoice at his coming because he will have found you faithfully doing what he commanded you to do? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we read this, "Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming." Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 51, the Lord Jesus said this, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." In Sunday school class, we noticed that the context of this is actually speaking about the end of the tribulation period, where the Lord will come in glory and power, and he will be seen by everyone. But the principle is the same. The principle is the same for the rapture as well as the revelation of Christ. So verse 42, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Knowing that the Lord Jesus could surprise you at any moment by his coming, you will be motivated, if you are wise, to be engaged at all times in that which would glorify him. At the very least, you will not be engaging in anything that would bring him sorrow and bring you shame to find you doing. Although in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter refers to the whole package of God's future, plan for the future events that will begin with the rapture and ends with the creation of new heavens and new earth, he is focusing on the imminency of Christ's coming at the rapture to set this whole package in motion. Would you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3? 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, we read this. Knowing this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Just to point out some things in what we just read, especially in verse 11, 12, and so forth, understand that the Lord, through the Apostle Peter, was pointing out to the whole package, the day of the Lord, okay, which isn't a particular day, but it is the whole time period. That time period begins with the rapture and ends with the destruction of the heavens and earth. And this takes place over 1,000, probably 10 and a half years at least. Okay, so keep in mind the day of the Lord is a whole end times scenario that includes all those events. All right, so the fact is that Peter was writing to those who were alive at that time, and he's saying, since you look for this, do something different. Be holy, okay? Live a life that glorifies God, does not bring shame to you or the Lord, but brings joy to his heart and yours. So keep that in mind, that this is regarding the whole day of the Lord here. So the most important result of looking forward to Christ's imminent return is holy living. Another result of looking forward to Christ's imminent return is joy. That's assuming you are committed to living a holy life for his glory. Notice that in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, this hope, this confident expectation of Christ's imminent return is called the blessed hope, or the happy expectation. The Greek word translated here in Titus as blessed is an adjectival form of the noun makarios, which refers to happiness as a result of favorable circumstances. What are the favorable circumstances in view here? Well, several favorable circumstances come to mind. First of all, we are privileged to escape the wrath that will fall on the inhabitants of the earth during the seven-year tribulation, which will begin relatively soon after the rapture. As we've been studying in Sunday school, about the end times, probably 3.5 years before the tribulation begins. The rapture will happen about 3.5 years before the tribulation begins. But of course, ultimately, we are privileged to escape the wrath of God on our sins because our Lord Jesus paid for our sins when he died in our place on the cross of Calvary. Secondly, and most importantly, we will finally meet our Savior face to face and be with him from that moment on for eternity. Let me just quote 1 Thessalonians 4:17 again. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord face to face. As Fanny Crosby wrote in that hymn, Face to Face, a wonderful hymn that reminds us that we will see him in all his glory. And what a day that will be. Last of all, we will be forever rid of our sin nature and our flesh. We will receive our new glorified bodies, and we will enjoy the blessings of heaven forever from that moment on. Let me read for you a rather long but glorious passage that describes the difference between our mortal body and our glorified heavenly body that we'll receive at the rapture. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and beginning in verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, speaking of Christ, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, that is, die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, this passage was describing the vast difference between our current mortal body and the glorious heavenly body we'll receive at the resurrection. I get up every morning, and as I get older and the arthritis kicks in and all the rest of the things that are wrong with me, I'm just saying, Lord, I'm looking forward to that heavenly, glorious body that you promised me. And what a difference that will be. For those of you who are young, you're saying, wow, what difference? You know, I feel great, okay? It'll come. If the Lord tarries. Now, of course, this passage was describing the vast difference then between our current mortal body and the glorious heavenly body we'll receive at the resurrection. However, later in 1 Thessalonians, Paul explains that this will take place at the rapture, and those who are still alive at the time of Christ's coming will be transformed without having to die first. Would you turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and follow along as I read verses 13 through 17 again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, And so we shall always be with the Lord. In other words, those who are still alive when the Lord Jesus comes at the rapture will be transformed as we are caught up to meet them in the air. No wonder the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Paul to call it the blessed hope. How about it, Christian? Are you daily looking for that blessed hope? The joyful, confident expectation of the imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? If you haven't been looking daily for his coming, will you make that a new habit from this moment on? It will change your thinking and your priorities, and it will motivate you to live a holy life and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you're contemplating making a choice, and you're saying, should I do this? Are you thinking, the Lord could come at any moment? He could come while I'm carrying out this choice that I made. Would it change what you choose? I hope it does. This whole wonderful knowledge of Christ's imminent return is encapsulated in our hymn of the month, words penned by Dr. Frank Garlock, who went home to be with the Lord last year, 2023, on March 3rd. My Lord will come. It may be soon. It could be morning, night, or noon. Till then, I'll watch and work and pray. When he comes, I'll go home there to stay. Maybe today, my Lord will come for me. Maybe today, my Savior, I shall see. Maybe today, from sin, I shall be free. Jesus will come, and I will go home. It may be today. My Lord will come, I know not when, but this is sure, he'll come again. With eager eyes, I look for him. In his presence, new joy will begin. We'll sing his praise forevermore. When we have entered heaven's door, redeemed from all our strife, our sin and strife, there we'll know perfect love, endless life. Of course, the chorus ends, maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come and I will go home. It may be today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we understand what you have caused to be written in your word concerning your imminent return, we are amazed and we are excited about your return. We know that with all that is happening now, especially in Israel, the center of your plan for the end times, we realize that your return is very near. Lord, I pray that as we consider this our theme for this year for our church, to live in the light of your soon return, I pray, Father, that we truly will, that we will make every decision, that our first thought will be maybe today, that as we make decisions, we will make those decisions based on the fact that you could be coming back today, and that we want you to find us doing what glorifies you, what brings joy to your heart, instead of that which would bring shame to our hearts. Lord, I pray that this would change how we do things, how we look at things, how we examine our choices and our plans. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone who is listening to this message, either today or later on our website, who is not absolutely sure that they are saved, that, Lord, that they will make sure, that they will seek someone who can help them from your word to understand how to be saved. And Lord, I pray that as we have opportunity, that we would share that gospel with everyone that we have contact with. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a witness ready on our lips. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to be a blessing to others, to be encouragement to other believers until you return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.